have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. 3 John 1:4. Hi, I'm Rob West. In that verse, the Apostle John praises his friend Gaius and other believers for their generosity toward missionaries. As parents, we want our children to be generous toward God's kingdom. Dr. Art Rayner joins us today with some steps we can take to grow our kids in generosity. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a pleasure to have Art Rayner with us. He's director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health, the organization that certifies Christian financial counselors. Art, great to have you back.
Hey, Rob. Thanks for having me back on.
Art, it's often said that more is caught than taught when teaching children. So as parents, we really need to be mindful of that, don't we?
We certainly do. You know, parenting is an awesome but difficult responsibility. As parents, we know that everything we do and say can impact our children's lives. So we want to leverage that influence to point our children to God and His plan for their lives. And generosity is a part of that plan. So we should always be asking, how do we help our kids move away from selfishness and towards selflessness? How do we help our kids become more generous?
Oh, it's such a great question. And we can assume that being generous doesn't come naturally to adults or kids. It's a learned behavior. So let's talk about this. How do we teach our kids to be generous?
Well, there are several tangible steps that we can take, and here are a few that I have found helpful.
All right.
First, you can model gratefulness. Expressing thankfulness for the resources God has given you can teach your children two things. It shows that God is the owner and giver of all things, and it will also reveal the impact generosity has on your own family.
Yeah.
As you often teach, Rob, giving breaks the power that money can have over us. Mm. And then just talking about generosity can have an impact in our kids' lives. You should always tell them why you think that living with open hands is important. Connect your heart for generosity to God's generosity. We love because He first loved us. We give because He first gave to us His Son for our salvation.
Yeah, that's a great reminder. And so I think it's so key to model gratefulness. But you also talk about modeling generosity as well, which is different, right?
Yeah, well, we've talked about modeling gratefulness. It's also critical to model generosity. We can't just talk the talk. We need to walk the walk. Kids are amazing at detecting hypocrisy.
Yeah.
So it's not enough just to tell them about generosity. We must actually be generous. Show them how you are giving. And then when you do that, you can also help them see and understand the needs of others. Talk about those who have needs that you may be able to help meet. Ask them to recall a time when they were in need and someone helped them. And then along those lines, you can help them earn money. Whether through an allowance or chores around the house, let them earn money from which they can give. Because when they possess money, the feelings of sacrifice and joy will become a little more real.
There's no doubt about that. But let's say they do start earning some money, Art. How do you help them establish the where of their giving priorities, you might say?
Yeah, I recommend introducing them to pastors and missionaries. Giving to the local church should be a priority, so let them meet those who help multiply their money's kingdom impact.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they will see that they are giving to something much larger than themselves. And then show them how to give at church. It's probably best not to start with online giving. If there's a moment when they can give during a kid's worship time, tell them about it. If they sit with you in the main service, bring some cash and drop it in the offering plate, or let them do that. And finally, don't guilt them into giving, which won't produce joy, but resentment.
That's great. And I know finding those practical ways to get them involved in the giving is key. That's where sponsoring a child can be great from any one of a number of organizations that allow you to do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we had a Compassion Child that we supported throughout their childhood and even into their early adulthood. And we would regularly tell our kids about that child. And man, there's just something about giving to somebody that is in a place where there's significant need and letting them be a part of that person's journey and story. Man, it just makes a world of difference.
That is so good. Well, thanks for those insights, Art. We appreciate your time today. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
That's Art Rayner, director of the Institute for Christian Financial Health. They issue the Certified Christian Financial Counselor certification. Now, you can read more about teaching generosity to your kids in Faith Fi's brand new quarterly publication, Faithful Steward. Check it out at faithfi.com. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
If only slavery were a thing of the past, but in fact, there are still 50 million people living in modern-day slavery. This is a reality demanding action, but few people talk about it. And on top of that, there are so many other kinds of slavery in our world. Now, you might be thinking of addictions to smartphones, social media, or other technology. But in Romans 6, Paul says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." And the obedience he speaks of is that of faith in Jesus Christ who sets us free. You'll grow more in your walk with Christ through time in God's Word. Try out Anchor Devotional at getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
As we've seen, consumer choices can affect corporate policies. For example, if you support men following your wife or daughter into women's restrooms and changing areas, you may choose to shop Target. But if you prefer a store where women can feel safe, you may choose to shop elsewhere. Target policy still allows men who identify as women into those places, so the AFA Target boycott continues. With enough informed choices, we could help Target return to better policies. Visit AFA.net.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance right here on American Family Radio. This is where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing you manage money every day. I do too. As we're sitting here having a conversation over the radio, you're spending money. Your utilities back at home are churning, and you know you're going to have something due by the end of the day today, I guarantee it. But how do we align those spending decisions with our values and priorities, recognizing money is a good gift from God? God to provide and yes, to enjoy. We actually see that in 1 Timothy, but also to give. And I would also say to invest. Remember, investing is deploying capital into business to create goods and services, hopefully that are a blessing to their neighbors and promote human flourishing. Well, all of that can be brought under the Lordship of Christ. And that's our goal here on this program, is to try to help you do just that. So with those financial questions that you have today, the very specific ones, call right now. We'd love to hear from you. That number to call is 800-525-7000. It's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. They probably won't be as open as they are for long. So this would be a great time for you to just to make take a couple of moments, pick up the phone, 800-525-7000. We're going to dive into those questions in just a moment. But first, in the news today, this tax season, millions of Americans could overlook what's called the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's a valuable tax break for low to moderate income workers. The IRS expects over 140 million individual returns. Yet, nearly one in five eligible taxpayers often fail to claim the EITC because they're just unaware they qualify. For 2024, the return you're preparing to file probably right now, the EITC is worth up to $7,830 for families with three or more children. That's up from $7,430 in 2023. Single workers without children ages 25 to 64 can receive up to $632. Now, eligibility does depend on earned income, with limits up to just shy of $60,000 for single filers and $66,819 for married couples with three or more children. Investment income has to be less than $11,600, and filers need to, of course, have a valid Social Security number. By law, the EITC refunds will not be issued before mid-February, but most early filers should see an update in the Where's My Refund portal at IRS.gov by February the 22nd. If there are no issues, direct deposit refunds will arrive around March 3rd. That's at least the expectation. Because this is refundable, even those without tax liability may qualify for a refund. If you're unsure of your eligibility, you can use the IRS EITC assistant or file for free through IRS Direct File, Free File, or the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance. You can learn about all of that at IRS.gov. Don't leave money on the table. Check out if you qualify and claim the Earned Income Tax Credit if that's something that you're eligible for. All right, let's dive into those questions today. Again, lines are open. We're ready for you. You can call right now at 800-525-7000. We're going to begin today in Texas. Hi, Debbie. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much for taking my call, and
yes,
bless
ma'am.
You for all you do for the ministry.
Thank you.
I have a child that is getting a substantial settlement, and I was told it was non-taxable. My question is, he's 32 years old, and I was wanting to put it in an annuity because he may not be able to work, and he hasn't worked very much, so my fear is that when it becomes time for him to collect Social Security, he will be unable to as a result of his work history. So what are your thoughts on investing in annuity at that early of an age?
Yeah, it's possible. So what is his work status? Did you say he is permanently disabled?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so that's something to consider, and I think you need to visit with an estate planning attorney who specializes in this. You know, there are two different planning tools that could be very helpful here. One is called the ABLE account, the A-B-L-E, that stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience, which, you know, is about 10 years old, and it allows you to put money in and to be able to earmark that for eligible disabled individuals where they can still qualify for government benefits. So the balance in the ABLE account don't disqualify you for SSI or Medicaid. Whereas if you have assets outside of something like an ABLE account, it can disqualify you. And then you're able to use the funds in the ABLE account, you know, for day-to-day expenses, food and rent and those types of things. And so that would be, I think, one thing to consider. The other, and often these are used in conjunction with one another, and you would need the second one just because of the sum of money we're talking about here, because you really want to keep the balance on the ABLE account under $100,000. The second type of vehicle is what's called a special needs trust. And this has been around for a lot longer, back in the early 90s, again, designed to help families support individuals with a disability. And really the big idea here also is to preserve eligibility for government benefits.
But it does have some greater asset management capabilities, which I think would be important for you here, just given the amount of this settlement that your son is going to be receiving. And the trust document spells out how the trustee will manage the affairs and the assets of the trust and who will get it when the person with disabilities passes away. There's no what's called Medicaid clawback, where it would have to, you know, recapture money that was paid out by Medicaid. So that's important. And it has a lot of flexibility in terms of spending on needs that are not covered by government benefits. You can also create investment income here as well. And having these two tools kind of working alongside one another can really be effective. But you really do need an attorney who specializes in these types of trusts and vehicles to put it together. But I think it would be well worth the time and expense, Debbie, for you to put something like this in place to ensure that, you know, the money can be managed, and you're going to need an advisor for that, but that it's inside a vehicle that, because of his disability, doesn't prevent him from accessing government assistance either now or in the future. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes total sense.
Okay.
So are both of these accounts, with regards to the funds that go into it, are they being invested and accruing more money, or is it just whatever's in there is in there?
No. You invest inside the account. And that's what's so, you know, beneficial here is that so once the account is set up, then you would have the ability, you know, in both the ABLE account, but also in the special needs trust, to be able to have an advisor help you determine what investments to put in there, and then to grow the accounts. And, you know, with the ABLE account, you would even be able to have tax-free growth as well. And again, asset protection up to $100,000 for SSI eligibility. With the special needs trust, you could have far more than that and still qualify for SSI. So two steps. Step one is to find an estate planning attorney that specializes in these, that can talk you through the applicability to your situation. And the second is a certified Kingdom advisor to manage the money. You can find both at our website, faithfi.com. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association.
Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit afafoundation.net.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often. Yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, helping you apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices. We've got lines open. If you have questions, call right now, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle whatever is on your mind today in your financial life. And we do have some lines open right now. By the way, in that previous segment, we were talking with Debbie about two types of accounts. One is called an ABLE account, stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. It's a tax-advantaged savings and investment account specifically for individuals with disabilities. It really has been for individuals that had the disability come on prior to the age of 26. That's going to be increasing to 46, which is going to make it more widely available to a broader group of people. And it can be used alongside something called a special needs trust, which is often the cornerstone of financial planning for individuals with disabilities. Now, we did do a great episode talking about both of these and how they can work together. And so if you find yourself in this position with a disabled a child and you want to know how you can plan for their future, I'd encourage you to go to our website. Matt Severson is a certified Kingdom advisor. His daughter has Down syndrome, and so he's become somewhat of an expert in this area. And I think you'd really be blessed by the episode. If you just go to faithfi.com and click the search button at the top of the page and search for Special Needs Trust, you'll find an episode from September of last year called Working Together, ABLE Accounts and Special Needs Trusts with Matt Severson. And I think you'll really enjoy what was shared in that episode. Check it out at faithfi.com. All right, we're going to head to the phones here. Kentucky's where we're headed next. Hi, Caitlin. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thanks for your call.
Yes, I was just calling because my lease is up in May. I'm looking to get another apartment closer to my job. But also, I'm a content creator. I make art, I paint, do poetry, photography, all the sorts. And I'm just wondering, how can I balance investing in my career and my wellness and also save to get my apartment and move closer to my job?
Yes. And so you have a full-time job and you're doing some of these other projects on the side, but you'd like over time to make that a bigger and bigger part of your income source. Is that right?
Correct. I've been doing my job since I was 17. I just turned 21 in December, and I'm ready to venture off into what my passion actually is.
Yeah. And have you demonstrated, Caitlin, that you can make enough on this to support your lifestyle needs and expenses?
I feel like in some areas I can definitely afford to invest, but the amount I'm able to invest isn't what I'm hoping for. Like, I can get some things here and there, but it might, you know, hit me on my next check, or, you know, I have to save up to be able to do it, if that makes sense.
Sure, sure. So what do you feel like is the next step for you to move this business along? Do you need to put more money in to buy materials, or kind of what is that next big step for you to take it up to the next level?
Honestly, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I've made a few sales here and there, but honestly, maybe the next step would be getting those sales coming in. I have the materials. I have, you know, the creativity to make and sell paintings. It's just the customer income isn't what I need in order to keep going.
Yeah. And I think that's key, and you need to pay attention to that, because God has gifted you with abilities and passions, and I think you need to lean into that. And I love that you found something that really gives you a lot of joy. We also need to be just mindful about the financial realities, which is why I love, and especially, you know, in this gig economy, a lot of people are doing this. You've kind of got your financial base, if you will, with your, you know, 9-to-5 full-time job. And then you've got this, you know, passion side project that you eventually want to become your main source of income. And I think the key here is that, number one, we've got to solve for you to have a safe, you know, place to live. You know, it may not be what you'd ultimately want. And I'm glad to hear, you know, that you're not saying, you know, I need to buy a house, because obviously that's going to require you to save up a bunch, but you do need a place to live. And so I think you, you know, prioritizing, okay, where am I going next? Can I move a little closer to my work so I'm not commuting as far, but I also need to be mindful of my budget and trying to stay perhaps below that 25% threshold of your take-home pay would be really important, because that's going to leave plenty of other you know, resources for everything else. And so I think that's your next step. Now, in terms of you kind of moving your side passion into your main source of income, you know, I think you need to continue to validate your idea in terms of making sure there's a real demand for it, gathering feedback from your customers, you know, continuing to really establish a monetization strategy. And so that is, you know, you need to make sure, can I get, you know, enough reliable income? Obviously, you would assume that if you can dedicate more hours, you could get more clients and customers and get more product out the door, and that would build over time. But you really need to estimate how many months of living expenses you need in savings to feel comfortable during the transition, assuming you've already proved out that there is enough of a demand for you to make this work and for it to become your primary source of income. A lot of people aim for at least 6 months, but a year of expenses, you know, can obviously provide more security. You want to be careful to keep your debt under control. You want to be really careful in your budgeting. But I think this idea of a gradual transition is best, because that allows you to perhaps go maybe from full-time to part-time and kind of step into this transition, rather than you making this kind of hard cut and then things don't go as well as you want, or they take longer, you know, to build up your client base. And now you're kind of really struggling, and all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, call me back in 6 months with some debt. So I think the key is, number one, let's find that next place for you to live, but let's, you know, make sure it fits well within the budget. And number two, let's go slow on the transition to you being full time with what is currently your side project until you've really demonstrated the business case for it and you've got enough in reserves. I hope that helps. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Imagine having biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox every week, helping you integrate your faith and financial decisions for the glory of God. At faithfi.com, you can join a community of over 70,000 people who are already receiving our weekly wisdom email, filled with articles, videos, podcasts, and exclusive offers on resources that will deepen your understanding of biblical stewardship. Start your journey today by creating your FaithFi account at faithfi.com. Just click sign up.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. You know, we started today by talking about how to help your kids grow in generosity. Dr. Art Rayner was here and had some really practical insights around modeling gratitude and generosity, letting them earn money, because, you know, that feeling of sacrifice and joy becomes a little more real when it's money they've earned. Introducing them to pastors and missionaries and showing them how to give at church, not guilting them into giving. And boy, I just appreciated the ideas that Art shared. By the way, this article is in our first edition of our brand new Faithful Steward publication. It's a 52-page, beautifully designed magazine, if you will, or publication, full of articles on helping you integrate faith and finance, lessons from the story of Zacchaeus on his financial testimony, and the importance of wisdom over wealth from Ecclesiastes, and practical things like, should I lend to family and friends, and setting a financial finish line, handling money and marriage, aligning your giving with God's heart, looking intentionally at Scripture to determine the where of your giving, that and so much more in this first edition. We'd love to make sure you get a copy of this and each edition that will come after it, a quarterly publication. To do that, just become a FaithFi partner, which would also help us reach more people with this message of biblical financial stewardship. You can do that on our website at faithfi.com. Just click give. That's faithfi.com. Just click give at the top of the page. All right, back to the phones we go. We're going to North Carolina next. Cliff, thanks for your call, sir. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rob, for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I got a quick on Social Security. I'm 79 years old. My wife is disabled. She's had cancer now for 20 years. Thank the Lord she's doing pretty good. Still hanging in there. When I became eligible for Social Security, I started drawing it, and they told us that at Medic she was getting Medicaid for help, you know, and they told me that I couldn't draw it, so I had to pay that back in. Anyway, I've never been able to draw it since. They always tell me that I can't, you know, I can't make that much money if she's getting some help, you know, Medicare, Medicaid. Yes. Of course, she's went on Medicare now. And still getting some Medicaid help.
Yeah.
So I've never been able to draw no Social Security. Is there any way she's worked and paid her Social Security in as long as she could till she got disabled? But is there any way that I could draw Social Security?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this does get somewhat complicated here, and I think, you know, the big idea is always to go sit down with Social Security and have them, you know, walk through your situation, you know, going to SSA.gov or calling the number and visiting your local office. They can look at your eligibility and review all of your options. You could also reach out to the state health insurance assistance program counselor, and they usually provide free guidance on Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security issues, things like that. And so I would check in your area to see if you have that available. Otherwise, Social Security directly could be a good option. The issue here is with regard to Medicaid and income rules. Medicaid is a needs-based, which means it's means-tested program. So that means there's income and asset limits. And if your income, is above a certain threshold, you can lose eligibility and have to switch to a different Medicaid program with different cost sharing rules. And that's why you might hear someone say you can't get Social Security because in some states, certain Medicaid workers might say if you start drawing Social Security, your income's going to rise and possibly put you over the income limit for a specific Medicaid category. And so that's probably the issue here. With regard to your wife's situation, if you have a higher Social Security retirement benefit than your wife, she might be able to get spousal benefits once you're drawing your own. However, again, I would go back to, the income thresholds for Medicaid are pretty strict. And so, that Social Security benefit could push you above that limit. So I think at the next step is really for you to sit down with somebody and kind of walk through your situation just to understand what's possible and make sure you're not leaving anything on the table.
Yes, sir. I went and talked to Social Security and they said they could sign me up. Well, I said, I can't sign up. I asked them about just drawing part of my Social Security, but they said you can't do it because they won't let me draw. They won't let me make but $15,000 a year.
And still collect the Medicaid?
And still collect Medicaid.
Yeah, and that's the challenge. So being 79 doesn't prevent you from drawing Social Security if you're eligible based on your work history. And, no rule says you can't collect Social Security because you have Medicaid. It's really more about whether collecting Social Security pushes you over a certain income threshold for the Medicaid program.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's all about.
Yes. Yeah, it's Medicaid that's because they would sign me up in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But I talked with them and they told me they would, but.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the challenge that you're going to face. And so I think you just need somebody to help you navigate that and explore whether there are some other options. I'm really sorry I don't have better, more specific advice on what you can do about it. I think it really just comes down to your state and the limits and how you navigate both options. So, but I appreciate you checking with us, Cliff. And Go, you've already met with SSA, perhaps see if there is a state insurance assistance program, what's called an SHIP SHIP, or there's often something called Area Agencies on Aging, and they offer free counseling on how Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security work together, including with a disability. And so I think a benefits counselor could perhaps, be skilled and have some expertise in this area. God bless you, sir. Call anytime if we can be of assistance to you. Thanks for being on the program. Quickly to, Raina in Texas. Go right ahead.
Good morning.
Hi.
Thank you for answering my phone call.
Sure.
I have a question. I was listening to the radio, but I couldn't hear very well that you mentioned something in your income tax when you want to do your income tax 2024. Maybe you apply for some kind of a bonus or something like that.
Yeah, what I was talking about is what's called the earned income tax credit, and only one in five eligible taxpayers take advantage of it because they're often unaware that they qualify. The problem is you've got to be under a certain income threshold. And so if you're a high earner and for this, your eligibility caps out pretty quickly. If you're filing jointly as a married couple with three or more children, you can only have $66,819 in income. to be eligible. If you're not, then you don't qualify.
Oh, wow. And another question, is any way that, because we pay taxes when we make our taxes, in the eyes of the IRS, we make a lot. So is any way that we can help us to, you know, to do better this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I totally understand the question. Let's do this. I'm going to take a quick break, but I'd love to understand what you're getting at there, and I'd be happy to weigh in. So do me a favor, Raina. Stay right there, and we'll come right back to you. Glenn in Arkansas coming your way as well. This is Faith and Finance. We'll be right back.
Fostering and adoption is not a Band-Aid for infertility.
Nope,
like, it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're so glad you're along with us today. Before the break, we were talking to Raina in Texas. By the way, I do have room for perhaps one or two more questions before we finish out the broadcast today. After we talk to Raina and Glenn, we've got room for you at 800-525-7000. Again, that's 800-525-7000. You can call right now with your financial questions. We'd love to tackle those. Raina, you had a second question related to ways to reduce your income taxes. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, so Raina and I had a chance to talk off the air. She and her husband are high earners, so they make a good amount of income, God's provision, that's exciting. And yet, you're saying, listen, at the end of every year, we got a big tax bill. How do we get that down? What does it look like to lawfully reduce the amount of taxes that we're paying? And I would say, number one, always consult a qualified tax professional for personalized advice. But here's maybe four ways that high income earners reduce taxes. Okay. First would be to max out a tax advantaged retirement account. So this would be a 401k or an IRA, some sort of retirement plan that will allow you to sock money away for the future and exclude it from your taxable income for the year. That would be a number one. Number two would be contributing to a health savings account. So if you have a high deductible health plan, then an HSA can offer triple tax benefits. Here's why. You put the money in pre-tax, it grows tax-free, and then you take it out without ever paying any taxes on the gains, as long as you use it for qualified health-related expenses. So there's a triple tax benefit: deduction going in, tax-free growth, tax-free withdrawals. But again, you have to have a high deductible health plan, but that can be another way to sock some money away for the future. Third, I would say, is probably charitable giving, strategic charitable giving. So donating to charities or setting up what's called a donor advised fund, which is like a charitable checking account. If you have high income, what you can do is you can do your giving in what's called bunching. So essentially, because you have a high income and perhaps you have more income than you need, what if you were to take 2 or even 3 years worth of giving that you would normally expect to do over the next 3 years, and you put it all into your donor advised fund in 1 year? That's going to get you above the standard deduction, allow you to deduct that from your taxes, and then you could give it away over 3 years if you wanted to, because as soon as it hits the donor advised fund, you've given it away. That reduces your taxes. And then I would say the fourth would be business deductions. So if you have any self-employment income, you want to maximize those business deductions, home office, equipment, those types of things that are available to business owners. So those would be my best four suggestions on the way to get your taxes down. Raina, I hope that helps. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's go to Arkansas. Hi, Glenn. How can I help?
Hey, yeah, yesterday I received a letter from Principal Financial that, well, I understand it looks like an investing company and insurance that provides for affiliated with different companies. I guess it's a global company, and it's based in Des Moines, Iowa. And it said that my username and password or passcode has been changed, and they wanted to make sure that I changed it. And it has an 800 number. And so I got on their website and looked at the website, and what I can tell is a legitimate company. It's HTTPS. Mm-hmm. And the phone number on the letter matched the phone number on the website. Mm-hmm. So I called it and spoke with a lady, and she told me that they do handle different businesses affiliated with different companies. So she wanted my name, which I gave her my name, but she wanted my date of birth, which I told her I didn't feel comfortable giving that to her.
Yeah.
So, but I don't have any, as far as I know, I don't have any kind of investment with any company or as insurance. You know, I'm, as far as I know, I've never changed, created a password or login for any other company. That I'm aware of, that I'm not familiar with, that I have, like my banking, and that's basically the only thing I really have. So,
yeah,
I just
wonder
if this is a legitimate letter or my sister. I spoke with my sister, and she told me that it can possibly be sent to someone else that, you know, has my same name. But
yeah, very good.
Sure, but,
you know. Well, I think it's worth checking out here, Glenn. This obviously could be a spoofing scam, and so I'm glad you were suspect here. Often what will happen is these fraudsters will spoof legitimate companies, you know, with letterhead mimicking the legitimate company. And then they'll use that to try to get you to respond by providing your, you know, personal information. And it's essentially a phishing scam. That's PH, phishing. These types of things are aimed at retirees. So you're right not to just react to the information in the letter, because you don't know whether this is from the Principal Financial Group, which is a very legitimate financial institution, or somebody who's just trying to spoof them. So I think the next step is, in fact, to go directly to their website, which you did, and get the phone number there and then call them. And if you call them directly, I would be comfortable. This is just me. I would be comfortable, again, assuming you source the information on their customer service number directly from their main business website, not a sub, you know, site, but just go to their main top level domain and then click contact us. I would be comfortable with you giving your name and date of birth to try to determine, is there an account you're not aware of? Maybe it's an old account you had and it was sold to the Principal Financial Group and there is something there. They also have a fraud hotline, and you could start with them. This would be the division of that company that's, you know, very accustomed to working with people who are facing fraud. But, you know, I would say as long as you source the phone number that way, I would be comfortable with you, you know, going through that exercise. The other thing you could do would be to go to their website. If they say you had an account, put in, you know, go to the find, you know, lost my password, put in your email address and try to create a new login based on your email address and see if you could connect with it that way. But I think I'd probably just call. And again, I would be comfortable with that as long as you get the phone number, not from the letter, but from the website directly.
Did that. I went to the website and the phone number on the letter and on their website matches.
Okay. Then it probably is legitimate.
Yeah.
Okay. It probably is legitimate. So it's one of two things in that case. It's either you do have an account there and you didn't know because, again, maybe there was a, you know, a buyout of an old company plan administrator who had an old 401k for you or something like that. Or there was a, you know, an insurance payout that you weren't familiar with or aware of. Or secondly, they've just mistaken you with somebody else. And, you know, you could identify that at the same time. But I would feel comfortable with you providing whatever information you have to chase that down, just given that you've corroborated the phone number.
Right. Okay. So if it's a HTTPS, it's a legitimate site. Am I correct on that?
Is that you know, that just means that it's a secure website. The fact that there is that S on the HTTP, which designates that it is in fact a secure site, doesn't automatically mean that it's legitimate. So I think the key is that you go directly to the principal financial group. So, you know, if you go to your search engine and you search for principal financial group, you don't want to, you know, there, what you will find is their website is just principal.com. And that's principal, P-A-L, principal.com. That would be, if as long as you went to principal.com directly, and then you got the phone number there by clicking contact us, I'm there right now, and I see the number 800-986-3343, then I would be comfortable with you providing information for them to investigate whether you have an account.
Okay. Good deal. Okay, Rob. Hey, I appreciate your help very much.
Absolutely, Glenn. Call anytime. We appreciate you being on the program today. Well, folks, so thankful for you. You know, as we begin to round out the program here today, we started by talking about generosity. And let me just finish there because, you know, when it comes to giving, as Art referred to, we often say here on this program, giving breaks the power of money over our lives. What does that mean? Does that mean money is bad? Absolutely not. What it means is money is a good gift from God. It's His creation. And remember, God's word doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But what we do know, and I could take you a host of places in God's word to reinforce this, but I'll just take you to the parable of the sower. You remember what choked out the word from bearing the 30, 60, 100-fold return, among other things, was the deceitfulness of riches. There's a deceitfulness of riches when we worship the creation over the creator. And money has an ability to occupy our devotion, to become the object of our affection, alongside power and several other things. But I think, you know, it's one of the most common counterfeit gods that we have, especially living in the most prosperous nation the world has ever seen here in the United States at this time. And so what do we do with that? Well, I think in part, other than making sure God is our ultimate treasure and that we have an abundance because of who we are in Christ as a starting point, one of the other things we can do is lean into this area of giving, because giving, I think, breaks that grip that money can have over our lives and our hearts. And coming full circle to where we started with Art Rayner, teaching that to our kids, I think, is absolutely essential. Hey, by the way, if you want to become a partner to help us reach more people, head to faithfi.com. Big thanks to my team today. Adam Suddeth in for Devin Patrick today. Sandy Dickinson, grateful for Taylor Stanridge and everybody here at FaithFi. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you.